I'm Lawrence C. Connolly, and I got started in science fiction in the early 1980s.
I'm Christopher Connolly, and I have been an illustrator and designer for basically all my life. I created a story, an IP of Minutemen prior to COVID.
This is a continuing episode of a series about Minutemen. I'm very curious. This 60-second power limit isn't something that, like, for instance, if I was creating a superhero story, I wouldn't even think about something like that. So what is all this about?
Chris has a backstory of this because you're a wrestler, so you know about 60-second bursts of power.
60 seconds, yeah. And making, you know, well, the one thing that I kind of pulled in with this is there was a time when I was training and I was there was a Russian coach, Olympic coach, that said to me, Chris, you have to train for 27-second burst. Train for the burst and recover, burst and recover. And when you're wrestling or doing any sports, even though you're recovering, you're still in motion. You're still moving. So with that premise and with some of the other things I was doing, with some of the reason for the story with the wounded warriors and things coming back, I thought, well, wouldn't this be a pretty cool concept? We've got brothers and sisters of war coming back. They suddenly have this treatment to cure their disability, and this disability is cured, but what cures them also goes rogue on them a bit. And it's the one-minute burst, but they have to come together. And my original concept was to have them stretch to 1 minute to 4 minutes and to work off of each other. They have to humble each other. They're coming from different backgrounds, different nationalities, and different personalities, you know? So they're coming together, and yet they kind of butt heads a little bit sometimes or don't, you know, understand where they're coming from, but they all have to work together. And as Larry once quoted, he goes, it's their kryptonite. It's their vulnerability is, you know, the 60 seconds.
Yeah, when we were first talking about this very early on, you know, Chris, you had some scenarios where they would go from one superpower to another and then to another. And interesting that, if I'm remembering correctly, it was me who resurrected this memory that you had, this training that you had from your coach, who said that you have a limited amount of power, and after that, you are down for the count. And when we hit upon that, I think we really hit upon something that drives the story. And that is that when these characters are behind enemy lines, and they are judiciously using their superpowers or holding them in reserve for the right time, they know that when they do power up, they have 1 minute to make a difference, and they better use that power judiciously. And when they expend that power, they are going to be completely wasted. Now, the reason is they're not superheroes. These are not aliens from the planet Kryptonite. These are humans who have this power in them that can be channeled, but because they are simply human, their bodies are going to burn out real fast when they use these superpowers. And when they use those powers, they are completely spent, they are vulnerable, they are unconscious, and that means that the other characters who are behind enemy lines with them need to not only advance the mission and decide when they are going to use their powers, but they also need to protect the ones who are down so that everyone gets out alive. And when we hit upon that, I think we really hit upon something that was going to drive the story. It seems to work.
Nice. Yeah. No, it sounds like it becomes a very much a collaborative effort now for the mission to succeed. Let's dive in a little deeper and talk a little about the characters. Who are we going to be reading about in this novel?
Chris, one of them is based on a guy, you know, on a Marine that you know, that you worked with for a while.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind when I was writing, I'm the amateur, so I was writing it in a way I could write it. So as Larry just pointed out, I had come up with these characters, but I had tried to put people I knew with them. Now, when I started writing about Daniel Hayes, He's the special ops Marine. He was also a collegiate athlete. So I started writing him about putting me in that space. And I was working with a Marine who was also with the Blackwater Force, and he was a canine handler, and he was a partner with me with BDI, which is a bomb dog international company that we had. And, you know, we would get together. We also were coaching wrestling together. We were, you know, we'd go out for drinks or whatever, but I got to know him. I got to know some of the other veterans that came back injured or hurt. And so Daniel Hayes is kind of a, you know, kind of a mix. I was writing for that purpose, taking a little bit of what Ryan would give me and then writing based on what I felt myself. The other characters, I had to come up with some images for them. So I went straight to, you know, our stars that are in movies now. And I was picking certain people that I thought would be great in these parts. And they would have been, and they would be. And time has gone on, and so maybe those actors are getting aged out, but they're not old. They're just, you know, these characters are a little bit younger. Actually, Larry and I even talked about moving one from the younger team to one of the doctors or the possible, well, one of the two other characters in the story. But, yeah, so we got Daniel Hayes. We have Jax. Jax is a veteran that comes back with PTSD, and he is a big ox of a guy. We got Christian Chase. She comes back blinded. She was a surgeon. Zoya, and she's a Larry. We have her coming back. She's a younger character, and I'll let Larry talk a little bit about her as well, and also the others. But we also have Jamie Valentine, who's the young. Would you say apprentice, Larry? She's a doctor. Took her under his wings.
Yeah, she's the young bioengineer who is working with the top scientist who comes up with a formula that rejuvenates these characters. And she is, in a way, she's kind of like the Charlie character from Charlie's Angels. You know, she's kind of like that that character who brings the superheroes together and has them, and doesn't just have them go out and have their adventures, but she goes along with them. So she's kind of like the field worker who is coordinating everything. And then they have another character who is halfway around the world in India. He's a computer guru. He's a genius, has a software company, and he is doing strategic planning for them because they need strategic planning. If they are going to be using their superpowers behind enemy lines, they need to go in with a foolproof plan. And this character that she is in contact with on the phone, she's never met him in person, but she is in contact with him over the phone, and he is able to find plans and solutions and strategies for them by tapping into not AI intelligence, but into Hive Mind. He has a gaming platform, and he has found a way to harness the Hive Mind of the top gamers in the world so that when the Minutemen go behind enemy lines, they go with strategies that have been formulated by people who are used to playing video games and solving problems on the fly. And this begins in the story as an asset, because they are benefiting from the wisdom of the top gamers in the world. But then halfway through the story, it begins to flip a little bit. And we have this notion of, what is reality? Is this a game? Or is this really a battle that they are in? And it creates a new conflict in the second half of the story. So as you see, there's, I think it's multi-layered. But just getting back to the characters. One more thing I wanted to say is that Chris mentioned this character, Jax. And in some ways, I think Jax is one of the most fascinating characters in the story. And I really like the way he came about. He, as Chris said, he comes back wounded. He has not only PTSD, but he has neuropathic pain. And he can't think straight. He used to be brilliant. He used to be a great leader in the military. And now he can't put two thoughts together because he's got this perpetual brain fog. And his superpower, when he powers up, the pain and the brain fog vanish. And he can remember everything he ever experienced, every bit of information he ever heard, anything he ever read, it's all there. Any language he heard spoken, it's all there. And he's suddenly this incredible powerhouse for 1 minute, and then the power goes away and he's as dumb as an ox. But right now, he's got this great power, and he also has this other ability. Because if you have total recall, you also have total awareness. And so he can speak to someone and look at their face and notice their micro expressions. And by doing that, he can almost read their minds. And he can then manipulate people in a way that almost seems like hypnosis. But all he's doing is he's playing on the little secrets about themselves that they are revealing through their micro expressions. I think he's one of the coolest characters, and he's also good for comic relief because he fancies himself a bit of a humorist, right? Oh. But his jokes often, you know, land like a ton of bricks.
And he's more of a ladies' man, and that's the other thing. Yeah. Larry, continue on. Larry does this so much better than me. I draw nice pictures and tell him what I want the people to be. But explain Christian Chase. I mean, she was a surgeon or a doctor for Doctors Without Borders, and.
Yeah, Christian Chase, that's the name that she acquired when she attended Harvard University, and she became one of the top graduates there. But she's actually from Central Africa, and she returned to Central Africa to work with Doctors Without Borders. And in the process, she is wounded. Her eyes are wounded, and her hand is wounded. She can no longer work as a surgeon. And the reason this happens to all of the characters in the Minutemen story, is that they go to some of the most dangerous places on Earth and try to make a difference. They get caught up in the crossfire, and they come home wounded and forgotten. And she thinks her career is over. She comes home completely wasted and completely spent, but she acquires this incredible ability to use the things that have replaced her eyes after she gets her treatment. She has something that replaces her eyes that is able to generate bioelectric pulses that can knock a person out, short circuit the electrical system of a car, and she now is able to do these things like everybody else for 1 minute at a time. But she pays a price more than the other characters because by using her powers, she actually damages the tissue of her face.
Wow.
And she needs an extra amount of time to heal. But of course, she can heal because that's another power that she has and that they all have. They do recover quickly. So within the course of a day, she will be scarred, but she will essentially be healed. And then we have Zoya. And Zoya is one of the later characters that Chris and I came up with when we were meeting with our West Coast agent. We seemed to spend a lot of time in bistros, and we were in this bistro in Beverly Hills, and our agent said, you know, I think you need one more character, and I think it needs to be a woman. And Chris and I looked at each other, and we didn't say anything, but I think we were both thinking, kickboxer, you know, female kickboxer. So she is, Zoya Zinchenko is a very complex character, and she is the child of a Russian expatriate who moves to Kyiv, and this is before the war. And her mother is Chinese, so she's mixed race, and she's always felt a little out of it. She's never really felt as if she belongs anywhere. She doesn't belong in Russia. She doesn't belong in Kyiv. But she is an amazing kickboxer, and this is how she finds herself. And when she develops her power, she is not only able to kickbox and draw on all those skills that she had as a kickboxer, but she is able to move with lightning speed and with a power that she never had before. And so she is a whirlwind. She is a force to be reckoned with.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
And now that's why he's the storyteller.
Yeah.
And I always worry I'm giving too much away. So Larry knows exactly when to cut it.
There are so many amazing things I just heard, like about the using a hive mind and leveraging the hive mind of gamers in some way to get the expertise. That's a really cool, you know, concept. And I'm really amazed at just that idea alone, that's like a book by itself. I mean, tell me about that.
It doesn't stop there, right, Larry?
It doesn't stop there. Yeah, they, as I say, and I, we talked about this briefly before, but there begins to be this breakdown of reality. I mean, they know that they are doing these missions, but why are they doing them? I said a moment ago that Jamie Valentine was kind of coordinating things with the help of this character in India who she's never met. But ultimately, the missions that they go on are assigned by this mysterious character named Brian Drexel. And Brian Drexel is a character, he's kind of like a New Age Howard Hughes. He's rich, he's a billionaire, he's a tech giant, he has a corporate military firm that he runs, and nobody has ever met him. But he is everywhere because he is plugged into this global communication system, and he sees everything and he watches everything, and he can hack into your cell phone, hack into your computer, and give you a directive, even if you don't want to hear from him. You're going to hear from him, and Jamie Valentine does hear from him at some very inopportune moments, and he tells her what to do, and she then has to coordinate with Seth, who's the guy in India, and then get her team together and go out and carry out this mission. So when I say that there's this breakdown in reality, who is this Brian Drexel? He is alive in the internet. He's alive on my computer. He's alive in my telephone. But when am I going to get a chance to meet him? When is he going to come here in the flesh and tell me what to do? And you can't, because he's a billionaire and he's hiding behind this veil of digital identity. And so he's safe while he sends everybody else into war.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you with the headphones on who are listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts. You've been listening to the show for a while. You must be enjoying it because you keep coming back. Well, hey, help me out. Tell your friends, your family, other people who would like to listen to Sci-Fi Thoughts. Give me a hand. Help me grow the show. So go ahead and right now, just send a text message, write an email, turn around and talk to the person next to you and tell them about Sci-Fi Thoughts. They can find us via Google, or they could type in scifithoughts.space. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and you know what? There's more value to be had. There are show notes, because within those show notes are links to details that we talk about, maybe definitions and taxonomy, all kinds of extra geeky things that you will enjoy if you enjoyed this episode. How do you get to the show notes? They show up right in your podcast player. Just click on Sci-Fi Thoughts and you will see the show notes there. If you happen to download the MP3 from a website, go back to the website where you got this MP3 and there you will see the show notes. The series started at episode 333. If you're like my friend Oris and you happen to have missed that one, you can go back to find it by going to scifithoughts.space and typing into the search box the episode number that you missed. Next episode, more from Lawrence and Christopher Connolly.
Where does the power come from?
Yeah.
It comes from a formula that the character Norman Blackwell, Dr. Norman Blackwell, who started this biotech firm, has developed. He's a genius, and he has come up with this nanotech solution that will cure people from the inside. But because the formula is not manufactured in his plant, it's sourced out to a place that is affordable. It's sourced out overseas. The formula is created by a pharmaceutical firm. The pharmaceutical firm just happens to be owned by Brian Drexel. And Brian Drexel has his own agenda. Norman Blackwell is in it for humanitarian reasons. He wants to give people their lives back. But Brian Drexel has another objective.